Turn to Luke 10 with me tonight, please. Luke 10, verse 21. Thank you, Caleb. Luke chapter number 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. Notice the word revealed in this verse. There are certain things that are only found out as they are revealed, revelations from God. He has to reveal them. But God himself, you cannot find. He said, I thank thee that you've hid them. Now, if man could find God, then man would boast and brag about it. It would build his ego and his pride. That's why the Bible says that by searching canst thou find out God? No, you can't do it. So the Lord Jesus Christ thanked the Father because in his own wisdom, God the Father saw to it that the only way that you'd ever know him is as he reveals himself to you. And the greatest revelation that we have of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the great revelation of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's the Lord Jesus. So notice that the Lord Jesus thanks the Father. He thanks him for his wisdom in dealing with men. Now, I have a problem with pride. How about you? I've got a problem with it. I have an issue with it. As a matter of fact, it's something that I have to deal with day in and day out. And I notice how when I begin to deal with pride that it's a very subtle thing, that it takes on various forms. It's able to hide. It's able to mask itself. It's such a deceiving thing. So we're in a house tonight, and it's the day before Thanksgiving. I searched my heart today, and I said, now, Lord, am I truly thankful? What am I thankful for? Well, if you're thankful for something, you put value in it. If you place no value in a thing, you're not thankful for it. It doesn't mean anything to you. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Amen. And you know, it's always, I hear them say Turkey Day, and we know that tomorrow that these retailers are going to be opening up at sometime tomorrow afternoon, and they've encroached for the last few years in doing this. We've had Black Friday, and how many times have you heard that this week? All it is them pushing to push aside one of the most important days of the whole year, Thanksgiving. I thank thee. William Bradford in 1620, with the pilgrims when they landed on this virgin soil, as you might say, they fell down on their knees. Here's what he says. He said, being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who'd brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and miseries thereof, again to set their feet on the firm and stable earth, their proper element. I can just let your mind go back and look at that as these pilgrims walked out on shore, just fell down on their knees. No cities, no towns, no roads, bridges, nothing. Nothing but 3,000 miles of virgin forest and the Indian tribes. Isn't that something? They thanked God. They fell down and thanked him. Now, they were in for a harsh time. Half their number died that first winter. And if it hadn't been for the Indians, they would have starved. But the Indians got them through. You know, the tents of Shem. Japheth dwells in the tents of Shem. Shem was there to take care of them when they got through that first winter. William Bradford wrote of Plymouth Plantation He wrote that from 1630 to 1647. And it is 400 years old and one of the most beloved treasures of this country. It's in the state of Massachusetts, I think, right now. And it is in excellent condition because it was written on something like, not paper, but it was written on something like cloth. And then later on in the 1800s and the late 1700s, they started writing on paper that had a lot of acid in it, and it hasn't survived. But that document of Plymouth Plantation that William Bradford wrote has survived in excellent condition. I think it survived because God wanted America to remember what it was all about. Amen. Pilgrims. These were people who went to the Netherlands out of the Church of England, and they revolted against the apostasy and so forth of England. And they went to the Netherlands to flee for their conscience sake. And then eventually they came to this country, and they came over on the Mayflower and other shipping later. They came over here seeking God, seeking freedom, seeking the right to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And the pilgrims, as you know, most people in the country, I grew up loving them and embracing them and thinking that they meant a lot. They stood for what was right, everything that was good. You've never seen a naked pilgrim, have you? No, you never will. No, they clothed themselves. They were decent people. They loved the Lord. You might not have agreed with all their doctrinal position. For example, you know, the big word eschatology, it has to do with the doctrine of last things. I'd say most of you in this house tonight are premillennial and so forth. And that's good. That's what I am. But I'll tell you right now, a lot of your brethren have been postmillennial or amillennial, and they're still your brethren. They still love the Lord. And so, you know, you have to understand things like that. But they were thankful. They treasured where they were. Is there anything you're thankful for? Are you thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ? What if the government says, we're going to take him away from you? I would have to say to the government, well, you can say whatever you're going to do, but you can't take him because you don't have him. He's not in your hands to dispose of as you please. And so it goes. July the 17th, 180 AD, 12 people were put to death by the Roman government for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 12. Most people never heard of them, never heard their names, don't know who they are, don't even know that the event happened. Most of you in here tonight know that the Roman government officially persecuted Christians, some worse than others. One Caesar might not have been as bad as another. Some Caesars were worse than others. Until eventually in 313, 3-something AD, that Constantine saw the cross in the heavens, and the Lord spoke to him, he says, by this conquer. And so Constantine embraced the cross and converted to Christianity, supposedly. And when he did, well, the persecution stopped, and the Roman Empire became friendly to Christianity, and a lot of the Roman soldiers were saved and baptized. Well, the Lord knows, and you know, it's always a matter of personal matter whether they were or not, how many were, who knows. Whether Constantine was a real Christian or not, I don't know, I'm not his judge. But I do know this, I do know that the persecutions stopped. But here's the problem. Once the Roman Empire embraced the cross, they began to change the cross. And they began to water it down. And the Council of Nicaea was one of the first ones to hammer out what the church believed and the doctrines that mattered to us. And then one council followed another council, it followed another council, and followed another. The greatest danger to the church has never been from the outside. It's never been persecution. When you persecute the church, you strengthen it because you purge it and purify it. And make no mistake about it, make any difference how hard you persecute the church, you will never stamp it out. And tyrants have learned that. The smart ones have. And so what they do sometimes is try to infiltrate it and just keep it down and keep it where they can control it. And that's what these councils did. But the greatest danger always arises from within. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples after themselves. That's why it is so necessary that we continue to preach and teach what we believe and what matters and what we stand on and what makes us what we are. That's important. That's very important. I believe it's very important that we continue here as Temple Baptist Church on Woodrow Drive, meeting on Wednesday night, meeting on Sunday night. I believe it's very important that we do that, because today churches have stopped meeting on Sunday and Wednesday. They meet on Sunday morning, that's it. Well, that's their business. I'm not responsible for them. But it is a witness and a testimony that we're in here tonight. This community knows that the lights are on and we're here at Temple Baptist Church. Why did I come here tonight? I came here because I want to come here. I want to stand up here before you tonight and say this to you. I want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to exalt Him. I want to bless His holy name. 12 people were put to the death, and they said, if you'll just simply recant your Christian faith and just become part of emperor worship, because that was a big deal back then. And, you know, if you will worship the emperor, you can believe whatever you want to about Christ. That's the idea. Believe whatever you want to. We don't care anything about that Jew, they say. You know, believe whatever you want to. Just become part of the system. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And so they put them to the sword. When Bloody Mary, how many of you know who I'm talking about? Queen of England. She was the first daughter of Henry VIII. And you know who Henry VIII was and all the wives that he had put to death looking for a male heir to the throne of England. Well, his firstborn daughter, her name was Mary, and she ascended to the throne and became the Queen of England. And when she became the Queen of England, she intended to put Catholicism into the country and to stamp out the Reformation that had begun. Henry, you know, formed his own church, the Anglican Church, because the Pope wouldn't annul his marriage and what have you. But here she got real bad because of the doctrine of transubstantiation, which you know in the Lord's Supper, where Roman Catholic Church teaches that the bread and the wine become in a mystical sense the very body and blood of Christ. And you have to let them explain it to you the way they believe it. But I don't believe it that way. I believe it is a memorial and is representative, but it does not become. It doesn't need to become, because I don't need to take that. I've already taken Christ by faith. But in any event, Hugh Latimer and Ridley and Cranmer were top ministers in the Church of England. And they refused to believe, they refused to accept the doctrine of transubstantiation, just that one thing. She had them burned at the stake. The last words out of their mouth was, Lord, open the King of England or Queen of England's eyes, open their eyes. And they went to their deaths. Our faith is not cheap. America is cheap. America looks for a quick fix. Feel good. It's a feel-good religion today. But that's not where we came from. We came from a long line of martyrs, burned at the stake, put to the sword, heads decapitated, put in bags, sewn up with bags and tossed into the river, impaled on stakes. Our heritage is a wondrous heritage. Wondrous. I'm thankful for what they left us. I'm thankful I know that. I really am. Because by knowing that, it makes me adjust my life. If what they've handed down to us was so precious to them, why do we treat it as if it's just, well, that's my religion. I was born on the Bible Belt, and that's what I am. See what I mean? So tonight is a time to be reflective and thankful. It really is, because we have to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And by going to the judgment seat of Christ, we have to stand along with them. And over in England, a little town over there has a huge monument on the road. If you get on the internet, just type it in. Type in the Martyrs Monument. Type in Cranmer, any of them. And his huge monument, it has a statue to each one of them. And it's been there now for since the 1500s. And ever to remind, imagine living in a town like that where this statue standing there of these martyrs who gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been good to America. He's been good to us. He's been good to me. A few days ago, I was lying flat on my back in the hospital. He raised me up off that bed. But not only did he raise me up off that bed, he has showed me so much in the last few weeks. I got a little closet I get in. And, you know, you may think I'm crazy. That doesn't make a difference. I like my closet. I go in there and I shut the door. Almost closed. And then I take you know what an iPad is? Okay. It is a wonderful tool to read with. It really is. I'm not a techie. I don't go around punching all the time. But I take that into that closet. I shut the door. I turn the lights out. And I can make the screen black and the letters white so it doesn't glow in my face. How many following what I'm saying? I can read for hours like that and it doesn't strain my eyes. So what I do is I go in my closet, shut the door, take out that little iPad, and I start reading the Bible alone. You'd be amazed at how quiet it is in that closet. No distractions because it's dark. See, no distraction. So I've got the Bible in front of me and I'm reading it. And I get into it. I get my mind into it. I say, Lord, help me saturate my mind with this book. Help me focus on what I'm reading. Lord, speak to me. And I begin to read. And the more I read, the more the word begins to move in my heart. I just read it. Just read scripture. It's not like I'm taking cross references, and I do that too, but not here. Here it's just reading. And then after I've read for a while, I close it up. I turn around, get on my knees, and I start talking to God. And it's an amazing thing how the word that you've read starts moving inside your soul and your spirit, and you can get a hold of Him. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Imagine now you've been working or you're doing something, or you're on the job, or you and your wife have had a big dog fight and it's time to pray. And so you go up there and find you a place, a corner, a closet, or whatever you pray in, and you get down on your knees and you don't have a prayer in your heart. How many's ever had that happen? We all have. Raise your hand. All right. And you wonder, why is it that I just don't have a praying spirit? Well, you don't get a praying spirit from this world. You get a praying spirit from His Word. I'd like to encourage you tonight. Now, you don't have to have an iPad. If you want to sit out in the light and read and just take a Bible and read it like this, that's fine. Whatever works for you. But what works for me is to shut the world out. Even my own house. Shut it out. And get in there and open up that thing and begin to read. And get alone with God. And then when I get done reading, to get down and start talking to Him and pray. And when you start doing that, you see things begin to happen in your life, your spiritual walk with God, answers to prayer, Bible begins to open up, the scripture starts talking to you. You begin to understand things, you ask God question. Lord, what about baptism? Lord, what about the law? Are we supposed to keep the law? Once we get saved? Lord, are we supposed to be baptized? Is that part of salvation? Ask Him questions about righteousness. Lord, what is righteousness? Can I be righteous? Lord, what do I have to do to be saved? What does it take? What can I do? Ask Him questions from His Word that's bothering you. I'm a teacher. I'm responsible to teach you. And God forbid that I get up here and teach you something that is not right. And so when I get in that closet and start asking God these questions, I want him to show me from his word. And my, how the word will open up to you. I'd like to encourage you tonight to start a prayer life. You may have had one that's faltered. That's the first thing Satan will stop, you know. He'll fight your prayer life more than anything. Because the Bible says plainly that when you get an effectual prayer, fervent prayer, that God hears you. And when he hears you, that means that he can answer you. You know, time and again in the Old Testament, the Bible said, and he heard him. You ever read that? And he heard him. What's that mean? That means that the answer is on its way. That's what it means. He said to one, and he let none of his words, what? Fall to the ground. So do that. We're praying an altar prayer here tonight. I asked Caleb to lead us in the altar prayer. I didn't ask him to lead us in the altar prayer because he's a professional prayer. We don't want that. I didn't ask him to lead us in the altar prayer because he knows more Bible than anybody. What's that got to do with anything? You know why I asked him to lead? Because I knew he'd pray. That's all. I knew he'd pray. I am so thankful for the ministry that God's given me. And I told you this, and I'll say to you again, he changed me, folks. I'm not the same person I was when I went into that hospital. He showed me stuff in there that I had never seen. And you can't get it out of a book. You can't get it from a book. God's got to show you firsthand, or you'll never know it. And he showed me. And I pray by the grace of God that I'll be able to minister what he showed me to you. I do, with all of my heart. Well, I do, that I'll be able to minister that to you. There's a future for you in Christ. There's a future. But it's Christ. Forget your religion and focus your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then take everything you believe and compare it to him. And understand it as you filter it through him. Nothing means anything unless it has meaning as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is salvation. He is righteousness. He is faith. He is love. He is my manna from heaven. He is the future. He is my hope. He's the Lord God Almighty. He is the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is what heaven is about. He is the future. In the book of Revelation, a whole book is about exalting the Son of God. Amen. Bless the holy name of the holy Son of God. Bless his sweet, righteous name. I love him, and I bless him, and I exalt him, and I praise him, and I lift him up. Amen. And I owe my life and my very existence to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll freely tell anybody that in a heartbeat. Amen. Father, in thy name we pray. Amen. I'm thankful. I don't want to just turn you loose, because there might be somebody in here tonight. If you really are thankful, and you have, and you really are, I'd like for two or three of you or whatever to just stand up and tell this church tonight, yes, I have great, great value in him. He means something to me. I'm thankful for him. Anybody?
A lot of people don't know what I went through. I actually seen him, and I've had to work for 2 weeks. I told Pastor Lawson, when he's in the hospital, that I prayed that God would talk to him. Because when I was in the hospital, I was in the hospital, I spent 6 or 2 weeks, I was in bed for a week when I got the vertigo, and I thought I might be dying. And the Lord showed me this right here. In Psalms 115, it says, the heaven and the heavens are the Lord's, but earth he gives to the children of men. Verse 17, he says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. God showed me that I've got breath, that I'm living for him. That if I would have went on, if he would have took me on home to glory that night, then I would have had nothing else to say. But he left me here because I still got something to say. He's given me something to say. And that night, and I told my wife that something happened to me when I was there on my back for a week, and all I could do was meditate on him. And God will put you, sometimes he'll put you in a place where he can talk to you. Because we get so wrapped up in this old world, get wrapped up in things of this life, and God sometimes has to just slow you down for a reason. So when I was there in that bed, and God will humble you in a way that you can't imagine.
Amen.
To talk to you. When your wife has to feed you through a straw, you lay in bed and she gives you little crackers and she has to feed them to you. To get your strength back for a solid week, that'll humble you. But God showed me how much I have to depend on him. God will talk to
you. Amen, brother.
You don't have to be flat on your back, like I was. But God will talk to you if you have that desire to talk to him. You have breath. Right now, you can do something for the Lord right now. The dead praise him God, he says. We've got breath. And what does the Bible say? Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, the Lord.
Amen.
God bless everybody.
God bless you, brother. Yes, sir. Show you how much you have to depend on him. Boy.
Amen.
No.
Yeah.
I love to praise the Lord. I think of this church. Because I'm a wife. I like to lift my hands, sit in a chair, praise my Lord. I've been out on the water of mine over there. I haven't been over there at a hard for a ball game since 1971. My big brother's laying over there. And the professor was trying to shoot and pull up and spill beer all over me. I tried to take him to a rail and put him by him to go over the side of it. They invited me to not come back. They still have to put him on my donation. But I like to praise the Lord. They can hoop holler over a piece of pigskin. I like to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a little unhidden. If I can't do it, outside in the parking lot at Walmart, where I'm down on this earth.
Amen.
But what he's done for me, he saved my low-down soul. I wasn't worth nothing.
Amen.
Piece of dirt or worm. And thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom.
Yeah, brother.
Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this. They understand and know me. I am the Lord which exercise love and kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, saith the Lord.
There you go.
I delight in my Lord and my Savior. Yeah. I've got so much I'm going home to. I've got a granny that left me some years ago now. She had a father she hadn't seen since 1918. And she said, I want you to meet my daddy. You're going to love my daddy. She was going home to me. I said, I will. I'm looking forward to seeing old great-granddaddy Hobart. Praise God. He's a God. What a God. What a God we serve. Mighty God.
Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Well, this man was with us Sunday. Has 12 years ago, they told him he needed 3 bypasses. He said right back there. He lives in North Carolina. And he hadn't had it. He's not here tonight, but he was sitting back there. 12 years ago, he never had the bypasses done. He just trusted God, and he's still here today. Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
And like you said, he'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. If you listen, you'll ask him to talk. I've got a couple of verses I want to read. It gave to me for someone that I dearly love. And a time of need, a time of trouble. And it's Psalm 50:14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble.
Yeah.
And I was the witness. I'm in trouble. I'm always in trouble. I call on him daily. Every hour I meet him. And I pray that he my unbelief.
Amen.
That I continue to be humble and ask for his leadership.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I thank the Lord that I can do that.
Yeah.
He seemed like a small thing to you, but September of 2000, I went in to have a back surgery done. The next day, they come and get you up to walk you around, you know, and get you ambulatory so they can scoot you on out the door. Well, they got me out of bed and ended up having to pick me up off the floor. They took me and did some nerve tests, conductivity tests, where they put electrodes in you and stab needles in your feet to conduct current through the nerves. There was no connection. And doctors told me I would never walk again. They may know medicine, but they don't know beans about God. So I would say. Amen. To the Lord, he gave me back my legs. And in my life, I have to tell you, in my life, I've been to the point where, like Job, I could say, have mercy on me. Have pity on me, for the hand of God has touched me. And then there have been other times when it's just the wheels have fallen off of my train, you know?
Yeah.
And I can say that he giveth me songs in the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to
say. Yes, he does.
No matter, he changes not. And that's a wonderful thing about God.
Yes.
I can be hot one day and cold the next.
Oh, good night. I can too.
No, I mean, it just depends. But God's always the same. His love never wavers. His mercy endures forever. And his promise is steadfast and sure. And honey, he's carrying me home.
Amen.
And I thank you for that. I thank you for giving me. Mercy when I didn't deserve it. After I destroyed my life for giving me back things that I thought I'd never have again, my family, a place among his people. I mean, he's a good God.
My brother, he is.
And he's worthy.
Bless his name.
Bless his name.
Bless his holy name.
Two years ago, I was on a path of destruction that was 100 miles wide. When I hit rock bottom, there was nobody there but me. And I wouldn't thank him tonight. Because in March of last year, I gave my life to God.
Amen.
And I've always asked myself, why did God allow that to happen to me? Allow me to go through all that. But in 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
Yeah.
And over the past 19 months, I've devoted my life,
amen,
my ministry, and everything to God. And the doors and opportunities he's opened to me for jail ministry, for speaking at churches, for giving my testimony. I know now what that verse really means to me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be ashamed of what I've done, but now I'm not. Because I know, because of what I've done, I'm a living testimony of what our Lord and Savior can do.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Bless the name. Stephen?
Hey. I think a year ago, I wasn't here. I wasn't able to be here. Thanksgiving was gone. It was deployed. I was real thankful to see Thanksgiving. I really was. I didn't have the turkey or nothing, but I had friends I was deployed with. But we didn't know that we were going to make it to Christmas. It was a rough time with the Arab Spring going on. I wondered then, I was like, God, why am I going through this? And I just really thank God for just the comfort that he gives in trying times where a lot of preacher, if it was left up to karma, I'd have been dead a long time ago, but it's God's mercy.
That's right, it is.
It's
not a karma.
The world has their karma, but I've got God's grace and his mercy.
Amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen. Amen.
I just thank God for every day that he lets me live to serve him. And
amen.
Worship him, and I just praise his name. I praise his name.
Amen. Amen.
I've come a long way. Right? I can't turn back. There's nothing from the past that worth ever going back to.
No, it's not.
Thank God for bringing me this far.
Pressing toward the mark and the high calling, that Bible says.
Yes.
Amen.
I look forward to more.
Amen. Past is past. Keep it in the past. Yeah.
Consider the things of the past. Behold, feel that I have something new.
All right. Let's stand up tonight. We could sit here all night. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your testimony. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving tomorrow. Hope you're able to meet with your family and loved ones and friends or however, whatever you do on Thanksgiving. But remember who did it and what it's about. Thanksgiving is Christian in its origin to the very soul. No question about it. All right, Brother Yates, will you dismiss us tonight, please?
Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for letting us come, Lord, for this world to shut you out. People are already gathering in line to get the latest and greatest gadgets. Heavenly Father, we get to come. We get to open up the Word of God and pray and talk to you, Lord. We get to testify of the mercy and grace in our lives. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, so blessed to have this house, Lord, that we can come in, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your Son who gave us a body that we, Lord, could be a part of, Heavenly Father, and that you would come into us, Heavenly Father, and make us new creatures, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, this week and, Lord, throughout this year and the rest of our lives until you come, Heavenly Father. Lord, never cease to give thanks to you. Never to put tradition over what this word says, Lord. Always to be searching the scripture, to grow closer to you, Lord, to be filled with your spirit, to be kneeling down before you in submissive prayer, Heavenly Father, that effectual prayer, Lord, that availeth much. Father, go with each one this week, Lord. Keep them safe, Heavenly Father. Give us the word in our mouths and our hearts that we can give out to those that are lost, Lord, that we may have lived with all of our lives, Heavenly Father, never muttered a word of your name, Lord. Father, I pray that you would give us boldness and Lord, give us confidence in you, Heavenly Father, to speak up this time, Heavenly Father, to put away all doubt, Lord, and that thing that keeps us quiet, Lord, and speak out for you, Heavenly Father. Father, you've done so much for us, Lord, and so many testimonies of your grace, Lord, not even spoken tonight, Lord, in the hearts of each one of us, Lord. We know that, Lord, we've been taken from the gutter and we've been saved to the uttermost, and you've blessed us with blessings, Lord, that we don't even understand right now, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Be with us, Lord, and all that you would do through us this week and prepare our hearts for Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.